This is CliffCentral.com.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to yet again another Unplugged Thursday. But I'm not alone. I'm always with another group of superstar leaders that are also unplugged and in charge. Gentlemen, how are you guys doing?
Yo, yo, yo. Now you're all doing good. Vaughn, how are you?
Yeah, I'm all good, brother. I'm all good, man. I'm fantastic. I'm super excited, though, because I got my J. Cole tickets. Oh, I'm so there.
Are you
there.
Serious, bro?
I'm so there, bro.
Did you get the Golden Circle tickets?
My boy, the thing about me is that I'm a huge fan. I'm a huge fan of Cole. Like, Cole is the man, right? So I woke up this morning to get on to get onto the internet as quickly as I could, right?
Yeah.
So I get on. I try to buy tickets, bro. They tell me that he sold out. Golden Circle sold out within an hour. So
yeah,
I was like,
okay, that's
hectic. So I go and I buy the general access, right?
Oh.
So finally, I get general access. I print them. All good. Then I get a WhatsApp from this friend of mine, Mirendi. She knows I'm a huge fan.
Mo, you know Mo.
Mo's like, yo, bro, I think they just released a few more. My boy, I stopped what I was doing. I jumped on. I refreshed until I could see that, you know, there's something. It carried on saying sold out. Then, you know, I was about to leave the site. And I was, let me just check again. So I scrolled my mouse over and it said nearly sold out. I dived in. And I got them, bro. So I'm amped.
So you're going to be doing Golden Circle.
Yeah, I had to sell my general access to, like, guys in my office because they were hustling me for them. So I sold them, like, just for what I got them for, just to recover my credit card. You know?
So how many tickets did you buy, bro?
I could only get three. I tried for five first.
Yeah.
And then it said, we can't find five. Then I was like, hey, but if I keep on trying, people are going to snatch these. So I went to three. And then it said, it's available. And I quickly just grabbed it.
So I'm so hacked because, you know, I love J. Cole just as much as you do. And you actually introduced me to J. Cole now that I think about it.
Yeah.
Say a line from J. Cole.
Oh, right.
Like two bars. If you want that ticket, give us two bars.
Hey, oh, my gosh.
Come on.
Bro.
Come on, Sophia.
Oh, my gosh. This guy's putting pressure on me. Like, no role models in the Ville right now. No role models to speak of. Searching through my memories. You see? I got it, dog. Yeah, dog, I'm out here.
Shout out.
Yeah.
But I have to say, my favorite track is January 28th, but I'm not going to go there. I'm still hoping and praying that somebody's going to bless me with a ticket. Shout out to Castle Light if you're listening. Come bless our brother out here.
If you guys are looking, I would just say, man, keep going on the site and just checking because they might be releasing a few more. The demand is high, bro. I never knew the guy had such a huge impact in SM.
It's pretty big.
Yeah.
And I was actually talking about this like a couple of weeks back and I was like, when J. Cole comes to South Africa, I'm there.
It's going
to
be lit.
Isn't it a bit inconvenient, though, to be in Golden Circle? I was chatting to someone that they said, I mean, with the Kanye West Golden Circle, they had to stand there for the whole time and you get tired. And
look, that's a point because I went and watched Kendrick in Golden Circle and it does get a bit overwhelming at times, bro, because like everyone's packed and everyone wants to try to get as close as possible.
Yeah.
So you end up like quite sardined. But I mean, it's, man, I just want to be in the presence, you know what I'm saying? But I think, you know, I just thought about it now. You know, my boy, my one friend, his name's Weza.
Yeah.
You know this guy. He's had a few stints with Castle Lights.
Tragic. So I remember he's a good friend of mine also. And last year he was handing out tickets.
I'm thinking, to some island, right? I need to meet this guy.
I feel like he might have that that connect, you know, for the backstage something there, you know, shake the man's hand, something like that.
So, come on.
So if my friend Wes is listening, can you just hook a brother up, like on the reel? Like, I really want to go to J. Cole. Like, I've been dropping bars out here.
Shout out to Cole. And it's pretty cool because Cole's one of the rappers in the game today that's actually graduated from college.
Yeah.
And it's graduation season, man. Mm. So we've got Malema graduating.
We got Gigi LeMain, bro. Yeah. That was big yesterday. You know, Gigi, her mom actually funded her whole degree and her mom's a nurse.
Mm. Shout out,
and
man.
She got I think it was a BA in media and anthropology or something.
Mm. That's awesome, man.
I've actually got some interesting facts as well of South African rappers that have got degrees. Take guesses, guys. Let's take guesses. Let's think of two other rappers.
Mm. South African.
Let's not talk American. South African.
That have got degrees.
Yeah.
So degrees or like diplomas.
Degrees.
So I don't think.
Okay, degrees and diplomas. Let's just make it easy.
Degrees and diplomas. I think AKA has got something.
I think we can scratch Casper though.
Okay, so I don't see. I don't see AKA or Casper on my list.
Questa.
Not on this list.
KO.
Yeah, KO. Yeah. Yeah.
What?
KO completed his studies and He completed his graduated his public relations management national diploma from Vol University of Technology.
Shout out.
Jeez, from VUT. He's from Funnabel Park.
Yeah,
man.
Bro.
Yeah, bro. Oh, okay, the real
one
stuff.
More person. One more person.
A rapper.
Yeah.
Another rapper. Mm. Not Questa.
His Tosa. That's all I can say.
I find
yes. Yes.
I find he's got like an engineering degree.
No, he studied computer sciences.
Computer science.
Yes. Yeah, GCT.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I find he's quite a lit guy, though. He's fairly intelligent, man. Even conversations with him are really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a dope guy.
Yeah. And
JR
then,
doesn't have none.
I didn't see JR there. WHP is doing well out here. He he studied BA Corporate Communication and majored in Information Sciences.
Shout out.
These people are deep, guys. Yo, that's what I have to say.
It's really
and
cool, though.
This time next week, I'm sorry, guys, I won't be in studio next week this time because I'm graduating.
Oh, yeah. Nice one.
It's been real. I'm getting my honors in industrial engineering. Can I just say, getting your honors is a lot harder than getting your undergrad. Like, yo, I saw deep flames. In the 2 years I did my honors, because I did it part-time, I've never seen such flames in my life. Because, you know, undergrad, you've got homies that are, you do group work is everything in engineering. Yeah. But now, when it comes to honors, it's every man for himself.
Shout out.
I wonder if it is because people say I'm studying towards my degree, right? My undergrad.
Yeah.
But they always say I'm getting my honors, I'm getting my masters. Because you just go and you get it.
Because it's done.
But you know, because who fails their masters? Yeah. I've never heard someone say, oh, I'm repeating my masters.
No.
No, you just go and you get it.
Yeah. You just wait for a while.
You know. I'm just going to go get. Like, did you hear yourself? I'm getting my honors.
Oh, no, it's true.
Get it, bro.
No, no. But the thing is, you need to remember when you're getting your undergrad or when you're going for your undergrad.
Going, yes!
Yeah. I'm changing the words. Yes. I'm changing the words intentionally.
You're going for your undergrad, you've
never achieved the degree before that moment. So you don't know what it means to have a degree, and you don't know what it takes. But with a post-grad degree, you've already got something. But it's character development on another level.
Because,
when I look back to my degree, you need to remember the day before my last exam, I was in a car accident. So, like, I was like, what's the point? Like, I'm tired. Then I had to write my last exam in January. That was a mission because in the midst of my December holiday, I needed to be grinding. And there were a lot of times I thought I was going to give up. I had to deregister certain modules because I knew that if I did that module, I was going to fail. Mm. And I saw people fail, bro. Mm. Honest. Hey, bro, I was laughing at people because...
You laughed at people?
I laughed at people because...
You're not allowed to laugh at people.
No, I'm allowed because I went through the same process. Plus, I was working. And then you've got people that are pushing full-time and failing. I was like, nah, dog. You can't...
Did you laugh at them in secret?
Yeah, obviously. Not in their face.
You can't be an evil person here.
You can't be an evil person in front of people's faces, bro.
Yeah.
So,
but it is a good thing to sort of... Like, the one thing that I think any a diploma or degree or honors shows is that you sort of commit to something and you get it done.
Yeah,
more than anything, really. I think it's just a statement of sort of your dedication and your work ethic. Because we all know, like, no matter what it is you're really studying, it takes time. It takes time to sit down and discipline to study and stick to a routine. So I feel like if you've got that behind your name, it's more than anything, it just shows that you're willing to start and complete something.
And
you know?
Go for it, bro. Yeah, yes, that's a journey, bro.
And I mean, like, look, I mean, the fact that these guys do it part-time and the fact that you did it part-time while pushing all your other things is another testimony to how, you know, time management and how you plan your life and how you get things done.
Something just clicked in my mind.
Yeah.
You know, every time Julius walked out of Parliament, he was going to study. Yeah. Like, he's like, guys, I don't have this time. I'm writing a test tomorrow.
Yeah, just
let's go fast.
Pay back the money. I'm out.
Oh, Zuptama's fault. Yeah. Zuptama's fault.
Hey,
I've got that exam.
Study, man. But imagine being in a class with Julius Malema.
Yo, my
I think he's very quiet. I would think that he's
in class. He's don't so you think he asks questions?
Yeah, I think he asks.
Ma'am, on a point of order,
Who wrote this textbook? Is he a white man?
I think Julius was so focused on the fact that he wanted to get past the whole failing woodwork thing and get a degree behind his name that he'd keep quiet, bro, and focus shout on out. The fact. So shout out to Julius, because I mean, it took a lot of tenacity, bro.
I feel like I have an opinion on this whole Julius thing. So, like, you know, shout out to Julius, take nothing away from him. Great, get your degree, man. But like, yo, bro, the way South Africa and the way the youth like blew this thing up, like it's almost like the way they were celebrating it.
The Julius thing.
Yeah, yeah. The way everyone was celebrating the Julius graduation, it was almost like the man brought world peace.
Yeah, so I didn't want to talk about it. I didn't want to talk about it because I thought there were there was a political agenda behind it as well.
Oh, man, come on, bro.
Because well, I mean, they are in politics. There will always be a political agenda.
Yeah, but still, bro. Like,
but one thing that we can't take away from him is that he has inspired many. There are a lot of people who thought, ah, I'm old. Ah, we are the uneducated. Ah, we are this, we are that. And the opportunities have passed us. Like we are older. I mean, Julius now, he's not no longer part of youth, really.
Yeah.
You know, he is old.
Well, he's 35 years old.
He's still technically in the youth of South Africa.
Yeah. No, but you classified.
What age does youth end? 35?
At 35, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, he's gone.
Cut off date. It's almost expired, bro.
But I think
he's reached the sell by date. So now he needs to get to the best before.
Oh my God.
For me though, I think. Like, I take nothing away from him, you know, and I think it should have been like a more just treated as a you know, high five, Julius, keep going type thing, as opposed to this huge thing. Because, I mean, thousands of people graduate with that degree all year, you know.
You know what irritated
me? How low do we set our standards for our leaders? Exactly. And that's where I was going at. Like, let's celebrate. Let's not make a big celebration out of a graduation. Yes, let's acknowledge it. Let's acknowledge the fact that he's done this. But yo, man, I just got like a bit touched. I was like, hey, yo, like let's not set our bar there, because guys like Mbeki, guys like Madiba, they had honors and masters in economics and law and etc. You know, so I think, you know, let's just be.
I mean, on the other hand, look, we always, do you know how big a scandal becomes on newspapers and things?
Sure.
Negative things always get blown up
out of proportion.
So, so let's blow up something positive.
Whatever
good it will do good.
Yeah,
it's better than the bad it will do when it's, you know, a scandal like, you know, there's so many scandals.
So I like the fact that Wiz is talking about good news, but I don't know if ENCA needed to broadcast live at Julius's graduation. Like, that's a bit overboard.
Yeah,
like, I just feel like that's,
hey man, like still going back to the thing. Look, obviously, we're not going to broadcast your graduation live next week.
It's unfortunate.
but Julius, like, you had it easy. Julius didn't. He had it hard. Like, he had woodwork and he had politics and he had people looking down on him and saying all sorts of things about, you know, and his woodwork stuff. He had to listen to that for almost 10 years, man.
Yeah.
A good amount of time of that criticism.
So there was a lot of slack and hate.
Yeah, let the man get it, man.
Yeah, shout out. Yeah, yeah.
So shout out to him. We acknowledge
that. And let the people hear about it so that they can think, man, it's possible I can do it too.
Yeah, so now they can't talk about woodwork. That's what you're saying.
I agree with that. Look, I agree with your sentiment there, Wes. I think it does create an inspirational story, and it's good to have it in the limelight because people in a similar situation as him can then say, wow, if he can, I can.
Yeah.
And from that angle, I agree. I just think that us as the youth, because I am not fighting the fact, you know, Malema graduated and they reported on it. Not at all. I don't think that's a bad thing to do.
Because he's an influential South African.
Sure. Yeah. What I'm actually directing my opinion at you, or my problem, or my what alarms me is the way in which us young people celebrated it. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, the way we reacted to it. Like, we should have been like, great stuff, Julius, now go on with our lives. But people were just on Twitter. People were just getting lit with this whole situation.
He trended for a whole 18 hours or something.
Yeah, so in my mind, what I'm thinking there is, we should acknowledge it, we should appreciate it, and we should congratulate him and whatever the case may be. But the manner in which we blew it overboard as the youth, not even anything to do with political or Julius himself, the youth, I feel like we sort of celebrated this a little bit overboard.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it should be, as the youth, we should be so focused on real progression and on real things and say, okay, Julius, high five, nice one, let's move, you know, that type of thing. Because I feel like people linger on this thing of Julius graduating, but for me it's more like, let's see something, you know what I mean?
Man, he's jealous. It was just a day, guys.
No, shout out.
He's trading for a day. Let him trend tomorrow.
He trends,
today, today it's on the newspapers, and then the day after today it'll all be cool, and so, we will now focus on the next big
so
day.
My problem is I acknowledge the fact that he did well. It's a good thing, it's a beautiful thing, as a matter of fact, but I think the problem's with us. Things trend for... petty things trend nowadays, bro. What about the real issues out there? Because, I mean, look at the thing about Pastor Mboro. Did you guys read the trend on Pastor Mboro?
What happened?
Apparently, he went to heaven, and then he came back, and now he's selling pictures for 5,000 in heaven. Like, what is this, bro?
Aye, man.
Like, what world are we living in where we're talking about such things, bro?
You know, and the problem is most of the guys don't understand Photoshop. Like,
yeah, bro.
Most people don't understand things that are Photoshopped. Because, I mean, oh, so he went with his phone to heaven.
Yeah, and apparently...
And his Samsung was able to take selfies.
My boy, MTN has signal there.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
So... That's my problem. Stuff like that, guys, no ways, man. Like, not necessary. We don't need to trend on issues like that. There are bigger issues out there.
Like, you know, just another point, though. Like, when I think about the Julius thing, yes, I agree that he had it tough. And, I mean, like, because he's in the public eye, he's been ridiculed and whatever the case may be. But, I mean, he's never really been a stupid man. I mean,
intelligent, bro.
Yeah, Julius is a smart dude.
It's like Jacob Zuma. Like, I really think that guy is wise, bro. Like,
I think...
He's smart. Up here.
I think he's a great... I think Jacob Zuma is like a very good mafia boss.
Yeah,
but I don't really know about, you know, intellectual ability. You know, but as a mafia boss, I think he's the real stuff. But I think what I was getting at with Julius is that, you know, how many people go through a similar situation as Julius, but they don't have sort of the opportunity because look, the reality is that Julius was in politics for a long time. He was an ANC Youth League president. He's been there for many years, so he was earning money, mm-hmm. and he was in a position where, you know, they had cases against him for bribery. He's been found guilty with SARS. He had to pay back X amount of millions. So he's had millions of rands. So to say that, you know, it hasn't been easy for Julius in the last couple of years, maybe based on the public eye and the way that people ridiculed him, on that aspect, probably. But from a financial point of view, bro, and the hustle that most students go through to pay for their studies, you know, like,
why
someone
can't
made
we recognize people like that?
Someone made a comment to me on Facebook and said, on Twitter, they were like, yo, don't compare Madiba and Mbeki to Julius, because it's like apples and bananas. The state paid for Madiba and Mbeki to get their qualifications, blah blah blah. And I was like, yo, but what are you saying? Like, then they said Julius paid for himself. I'm like, yeah, man, of course he paid for himself. Like, the guy's got money, you know. Julius is not broke. He's never been broke for a long time.
He won't qualify for NSFAS.
No way, bro. Like, Julius is so chilled.
He's in the missing middle.
Julius is lit, bro. He's cool. So, you know,
Julius didn't struggle. That's what we're saying. Like, he got his degree, but he didn't struggle.
But he had his struggle. Like, he comes from a very tough background. I acknowledge it. And I commend Julius. And I commend Julius on a lot of things. I just feel on this specific thing, the way we've gone about it and the way we've blown it,
we blew it out of proportion.
Perhaps I am mistaken, but I felt like that was my initial emotion to the whole thing. You know?
Now, I agree with you, Vaughn. I mean, we are blowing things out of proportion and petty things out of proportion. That's why I mentioned the whole Pastor Mboro thing. Because I was like, guys, and there are things out here in the world that are burning issues, but we're not talking about them.
Mm.
Like, my problem is the whole... Okay, maybe this is a different point of view, another topic. But the whole... You know when the Paris attacks occurred? How people's Facebook profiles were changing into the French flag and all of that?
Mm.
What about stuff that's happening in Africa, bro?
Mm.
I mean, in Cote d'Ivoire, there was a beach attack, bro, and people were slaughtered at the beach.
Sure.
A lot of stuff is happening in Africa, and Africa's home. We are Africans before we're even South Africans.
Bro,
why are we so focused on Europe when right here at home there are issues? And I mean, we're not talking about
it's them. Not even, I mean, like, yes, definitely the African continent never gets the sort of the
recognition.
Yeah,
it deserves,
man. I mean, like, in comparison to Europe, but it's just because of the way it's been. Like, it's the age old saying, like, brown lives, black lives don't matter, you know. And what we've been fighting for the last couple of years,
yeah.
you know, as young people, you know, and it's the reality, man. It's something that we got to work on every day, and we do our own part to make it to bring the awareness, you know, and to do what we have to do to make people aware of what's actually going on in Africa and in the Middle East specifically too.
So, Vaughn, I want to actually ask you a question with regards to that. So, let's say I'm an individual and I see all the problems that I'm facing.
Yeah.
What can I do now, like today, to make people aware? Simple, practical, so we can make people aware of what's happening, mm-hmm. and what part can I actually play?
Yeah, so I don't know, man. It's a tough question because it can range from anything. You can start movements, you can do whatever you want, but a practical, simple way to do it in your everyday life. Because for me, when you look at these problems, it's a societal culture that's been created. So like, the culture in the world always alludes to the idea that it's subconsciously that black lives don't matter, brown lives don't matter, etc., etc., yeah. right? So that's a social problem, and it's the way the world's been raised, and it's the systems that have been put in place that have influenced the way people think, and that type of thing. So for me, the way it starts is within yourself. So you make the choice to be different to what is sort of the norm in the world, and then you go out in your everyday life and you actively portray that, and you be conscious of it, so that when you engage with people and when topics come up, you speak from a conscious point of view or from a different point of view, so that you can hopefully influence someone else in conversation.
Yeah.
Another thing is obviously taking to social media and making use of those platforms to raise certain points or certain ideas that you might have. You know, I mean, those are simple things to do. It's things I try and do in my own life. You know, it's just a change within yourself. And being conscious of what it is you actually want to bring across and trying to do it in sort of every way you can in your life.
Yeah. So, Wiz, I'm going to ask you the same question. According, like, you listen to what Vaughn said, and that's how he plays his part. I think I agree with you, Vaughn, when you say taking it to social media. From my point of view, I believe when you make people think, you start building solutions slowly but surely. Like, people need to realize that there are issues out there. So creating awareness on social media, trying to influence a culture, trying to attack a culture head on with what your words, your thoughts, your actions is something that's very critical.
Yeah.
So, Weza, what my question to you is, with all the issues that we're facing in our country and Africa at large, and you know there's a lot of problems out there.
Yeah.
What part... what simple action can you do today, or what part can you play to create awareness? Just for the person that doesn't know what to do. They see problems. I understand that there's a lot of problems out there. But what can they actually do?
You know, sometimes when you wanna eat a whale, you eat it in small little bites, right?
I've always heard you say this quite a lot. Yeah.
And it's very true. Mm. You ask, what can I do today?
Yeah.
You know, so what you can do today, or what I can do today, is in a simple conversation you're having with someone, and someone just makes a very, let's say they make a very stereotypical remark, you know, something like, hey, black people, hey, black time, or, you know, whatever people think is normal, or and they say that, you can just try correct that little mindset, even if it's just one person, and in that conversation, you don't let it slide. You say, hey, man, actually, let's go back to that. You know, it's the same thing when I compliment you, Vaughn, and I say, yo, man, hey, nice jeans. Hey, bro, even your hat, chucks, unplugged and in charge. Hey, you got money, ne? And then you normally would say, hi, no, man, no, it's not that. People are so scared to have money. Like, what's wrong with having
it's not
money?
A center of money?
What's wrong with having money? Yeah. But because now subconsciously you have this bad connectation to having money, you think that you're supposed to say, no, I don't have money. Yeah. So you're trying to lower
downplay yourself.
Yeah. Downplay yourself the whole time. Mm. So you're running away from certain titles, or maybe from growing in certain ways.
Yeah.
When you say you have something, actually more comes to you. You know, when you actually say, no, I don't, you're actually calling, poverty towards yourself, because you're saying,
you're declaring poverty.
Yeah, me, I'm poor. Me, no, I'm poor. Mm. And then the poverty comes to you. What I'm saying is, these type of mindsets, you just try to play them and attack them immediately.
Sure.
Just with a friend in a simple conversation. That's what you can do today.
Yeah.
Mm.
You know, eventually you're gonna get known as that person who's always so positive, who's always so, and then eventually people will choose you to go and represent a certain cluster of people and go speak on that matter. And then that's how now you can grow whatever your influence is and start, you know, doing it for many other people around as well.
Yeah, so that's powerful stuff. Yeah. I have to say, for me, it was going to be something along those lines. I mean, it starts by influencing your world, no matter how big or small it is.
Yeah.
Influence the people around you, because you don't know how many other people that you might be influencing indirectly and all of that.
Yeah, I mean, yesterday I was privileged to be in a webinar with people from all around the world.
Oh, yeah, saw that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, man, this was some crazy stuff. And I mean, I was there with some billionaires. I'm probably the youngest guy there, guys. It was so crazy. I was representing South Africa. There were some people there from New York, from London, from Kuala Lumpur, from Los Angeles. And they were talking entrepreneurship, especially for young people, and what are some of the challenges and what the great, you know, what are some of the great opportunities available for people who want to be mentored and some of the platforms in South Africa, for instance, as well, for mentorship as well. Because a lot of people always say, hey, can I have a mentor? Can I have a mentor?
Yeah.
And I mean, these type of conversations are really great. You know, they build the country and they build people's minds as well. So, I mean, the other thing that you can do is also just try to get a bit of insight and knowledge from other people's fountains of knowledge, you know, and grow yours so that when you speak, you know, you're speaking from a bit of an intellectual point. Because a lot of the times people, you know, those are barbershop discussions, or maybe those
are deep conversations, right?
Deep conversations by people who have not done the research. So everyone is just talking about, because I saw it on a tweet somewhere. Now they're talking as if it's a fact. You know, and so often at times people don't even do that research so that they can engage in a conversation with factual things. And that's also one of the issues.
Pretty much. It's just like exactly what Wes is saying. I think just to summarize, it would be equip yourself, you know, always equip yourself in conversations in society, in conversations with your friends, making use of the internet as a resource, and try and equip yourself to the best of your ability so that when you do have those conversations, you coming from a place of authority.
Yeah. So I think it all starts with being yourself, bro, knowing who you are. I think identity is something that's fundamental, because if you don't know who you are, the world will define who you are. And if the world is influencing you, how will you ever be able to influence the world? So it all starts with you. And like you said, Vaughn, earlier, you need to know yourself and work on yourself first before you can try and eradicate the problems that the world faces.
Yeah, you've got to change your world before you change anyone else.
Exactly. So know yourself, know your worth. And that's that's where it all starts.
For sure.
I'd invite you guys, everybody, you as part of the tribe listening right now, everyone, even right here in studio, to just do a bit of introspection. We are now at 90 days into 2016.
91
days in leap years. Yeah. Yes, one free year that you got as well.
Yeah.
Meaning that there's about 10 days left. I mean, next week and maybe just a few days after, then it will be 100 days into 2016. What have you done with the first 100 days? You had 100 days of 2016. 100 days. What can you do in 100 days? That's almost a quarter of a year. It's more than a quarter.
It's more than,
it's almost a third of the year. What have you done with the 100 days? Well, the 100 days are not over yet. There's about 10 or 9 of these days still left. But try summarize your life after the first 100 days and see, okay, what checkpoints have I reached? Where are my milestones? What am I going to set for myself for the next 100 days? Let's have a 100-day challenge.
Yeah, bro.
I got 100 days. So, I mean, if you do that, I think you can pretty much have three big challenges. And then for those last 365, those last 65 days, you can pretty
it's
much
free,
just
it's a bonus,
bask
man.
In your glory. Yeah, those are days for you to bask in your glory. But you got 100 days. Or you can even split it up. 100 days. Then 20 days rest, then another 100 days, 20 days rest, and another 100 days. And you've got 5 days of New Year. Yeah. But of who party, who works on New Year's Day, except if you're an entertainer. Yeah. But I mean, that's it. Let's try to do that. A 100-day challenge.
I think what you need to do now is, seeing that we're almost in 100 days, look back, like you said, introspect, and talk about what you're going to do in the next 100 days. So you can reflect after the next 100 days, what you have done, what you've achieved, and keep on pushing towards the next goal, and reflect and push forward. Reflect and push forward. Yeah. That's what it's about, you know. I think that's the only way we'll ever move forward.
Mm. That's true.
I agree with that. And I think just something I'd like to mention, I discussed this yesterday on Take Charge with Ari. Not yesterday, sorry, on Tuesday. Our segment's on Tuesday. And we spoke about time and the concept of time and how we do it in business, right? And especially setting goals. So sometimes, you know what we need to do as young people is take your 100 days and set a conceptual goal.
Yeah.
And be open to outcomes. So for instance, I made an example and I said something like, you know, sometimes you say, I want to open a business within 100 days. Okay, I want to have a business and I want to start making money after 100 days. Okay, that's your goal. You set that goal, not really understanding the complexities that go into starting that and actually making the money from it and what a journey it actually is. And you tend to maybe after 90 days realize this might not happen, you get down on yourself and you get disappointed. Whereas if you changed your angle of your goal and said, in 100 days, I want to be a better businessman. Now you've opened yourself up to different outcomes and opportunities to learn because of your approach. So, you know, just apply that to your thinking over your 100 days and try and set a goal that enhances you, teaches you, but also leaves you open to various outcomes.
Yeah. A strategy from Brian Tracy on goal setting would be to say, I'm going to take a page and write down as many big goals as possible, right? Try to write down as many things as possible that that you think, if you could wave a magic wand, these are some of the things that you'd want to have achieved and want to have, especially if you had to do it in the next year.
Yeah.
Right? And then after that, you look at them and you say, which one of these, if I had to do just one, would have the biggest impact on my life, like the biggest change? All right, cool.
Go for
this
that
one. And then you pick it, and then you say, all right, in this, what are the things I would need to do to achieve this? What are some of the traits I would need? Then you try to write down 21 qualities that you need to have to achieve this thing.
Okay, that's cool.
Normally, the 21st one, the last one you write, that's is actually
deep,
the
bro.
One. That's the one.
Because you have
you
dug
just
that
do that
deep,
one,
yo.
You'd have done everything. Shut yeah, up. Normally the first five are going to come easy, yeah. But the next five is like, ah.
You got to think hard for that last
But those
one.
Last few,
yeah.
It's heavy.
It's so heavy. But normally it touches on your weak points right now. And in fact, even when it comes to just winning in life, you often do not win because of your strong points. You win because of your weak point that you made stronger.
That you developed, yeah.
Yeah.
Shucks. That's so deep.
Shut up.
I think the most important thing is also to stay on track and track your progress. And our guest coming up after the break will be talking to us about staying on track and how we can measure our progress as we go along. But until then, let's take a break. I think we've spoken about a lot of stuff, guys. And I think we just need a breather, right?
This prayer's for everybody that feels that they're too messed up. For everyone that feels they've said I'm sorry too many times. You can never go too far when you can't come back home again. That's why I need
more. I just have to say, this song is just everything, bro.
Chance the Rapper. The verse. Yo, my boy.
No, this is the realest, dog. Yo, no, Kanye, you went in.
You gotta go get that Life of Pablo if you haven't got it, man. It's a work of art. Brilliant album.
You know, the first time I listened to that album, I think I got stuck on track one for like an hour. Like a solid hour, bro. I was just track one on repeat the whole time.
Yeah,
Ultralight Beam
is brilliant. That was Ultralight Beam by Kanye West off his new album, The Life of Pablo, featuring Chance the Rapper, Kirk Franklin, I think it is, and The Dream. I think it's got The Dream on it. Yeah, it's a
what
hella track, man.
You know, I love that little girl. You gotta praise the Lord. Like,
we don't want the devil.
You know, I watched that video. Like, there's a YouTube video on her, and you know, she's like going in, eh? She's like preaching, and she goes in. She goes and preaches, and then she like gets out of breath. Then she takes a cloth. She's like a pastor. Like, I was looking at her like, this girl's going in like a pastor, wiping her forehead, drinking water, then going in again.
Shout out to her.
So before the break, we were talking about goal setting. We spoke about the problems that we're facing. We spoke about how we are 91 days into 2016, and we're almost 100 days in, and we're reflecting back on the first 100 days, and we're asking you, what have you done in the past 100 days? And also, at the same time, we're asking you, what are you going to do with your next 100 days? Because we need to track our progress, right? And move forward. And our guest today is a man that really tracks his progress on a daily basis. He actually designed a diary called the Stay on Track Diary. And what this diary does, I actually bought a diary, and this diary literally allows you to track your progress on a daily. It asks you what you're grateful for on the day, 3 qualities you like about yourself, and rating your day out of 10. And then after that, after a month, you rate your month out of 10 by summing the average of each and every day. And then after a year, you literally track your year, and then you sum up and you do some funny calculation. I haven't done the calculation as yet, but you do some calculation, and you track your year and you track the progress. So it's actually quite a quality diary. But our guest today is Thulani Mphahlele. Thulani is the author of You Are the CEO of Your Life, and he's also a human potential speaker. He's the founder of The CEO Speaks, and he is a performance strategist who provides practical tools for self-development. He's also author of what I said is called the Stay on Track Diary. Thulani,
Yeah.
How you doing, my brother?
Hi, my guy.
Yay, man. Good to see you, brother.
Cool. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us. I mean, yo, like, I know Tulani from church and all of that, and we go way back, and it's actually great to have you in studio with us today. I mean, I see your work. You're doing amazing things. But for those people that don't know you, tell us a bit about yourself. Where are you from? How your upbringing, and what led you to do what you're doing today?
Cool. Thank you, Sims and Yvonne.
Yeah, cool, man.
Yeah, my name is Tulani, like you know, you said, and basically I'm a speaker and an author. But before that, I'm from PLK, okay?
Oh, right.
Polokwane. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I was born and raised there. I went to high school down there and primary.
Yeah.
And then the year 2007, I came to Pretoria study BEd education at University of Pretoria.
Okay, yeah.
And then, you know, I finished my degree in 2010.
Yeah.
And then after that, I started working in 2010, the same year after I finished my degree. And then since then, you know, I've been, you know, now I was independent and now I was, you know, living by myself, and there's no longer, you know, any attachment from people supporting me per se. And then from 2011 to 2012, I started to go on a journey whereby I wanted to find myself. And the one question that has been with me in that time was the question which I believe that most of you guys should have asked yourself. I believe it's this one question that we should all ask ourselves.
Yeah.
And that question was, who am I? You know what I'm saying?
That's a fundamental question, right?
Yeah. It's not an easy question. Yeah. You know, it's not an ABC question whereby you just ask yourself and then you get it now. You know, I believe this question can only be found through a journey.
Mm.
You know, there's certain things that needs to happen for this question to be able to reveal itself to you.
Yeah.
So from asking myself constantly that question, and then I went into a journey of finding myself.
Yeah.
Now I remember, you know, I mean, I used to think that maybe, you know, because in that moment that I was an educator and not fulfilled. That is why actually the whole question came into place.
Yeah, so what I want to ask you now, actually before I ask you, let's ask Lele this question. Because, I mean, let's test this question because it's a fundamental question. So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome our content producer, Kilebogile Lele Tlokwe. Lele, how are you doing?
I'm good, thanks, Sims. How are you?
Good, thanks. So, Lele, tell us, who are you?
I am fire.
Oh, right.
Yes, I am.
That was a dope answer.
I don't know what to say about that answer, but okay, yeah, carry on.
You know your answer's lit. Excuse
it's
the
lit. When, I was gonna say the
when
lit.
when the response is okay.
No, honestly, geez, why I say that is because.
Can you just repeat that one more time?
I'm fire.
Like I don't know what else to say. Like.
Yeah.
I'm becoming the person that I've always aspired or rather looked up to.
Yeah.
Because I found myself in burning situations.
Okay.
Yeah. Stop. Situations that I would have never wanted to be in, but realized that I have to be there. You know, I have to go through that burning feeling.
So that's exactly what Tulani was saying, that it's a journey, and this question reveals itself to you in time. So tell us about your journey and your revelation, man.
So tell us who you are, right? He must tell us who he is now. So Tulani Mpahlelo, who are you?
Yeah, you just put me in a corner right there.
He does it.
Welcome to Unplugged and In Charge. This is not your conventional radio show, bro. Like, this is Unplugged Radio, so we're going to... We're going to make you feel a bit uncomfortable.
I think it's fine. It's okay.
You know, it's to maybe assist you on in this question, what I usually ask myself would be, out of all the things you have achieved so far and out of all the things you will achieve in your life, what is it that you want to be written on your gravestone?
Yeah.
Yes, that is the fundamental question. Not even who you are. The most important question is, what will they say about you when you live?
And obviously you would like that to be who you are.
Yeah.
So deep. what would you say there?
All right, beautiful. For me, man, I believe that who I am is wrapped inside my purpose.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So when you find your purpose, you're going to find who you are.
Okay.
You know, so I'm a speaker. Mm-hmm. That's basically what I came on earth to do.
Yeah.
Nothing else, nothing more.
Yeah.
Yet there's a whole lot of things that I do other than that, and a whole bunch of things. But every single thing is being tied to this one thing that, you know, when I actually found that this is where my passion is and where my, you know, my every single thing is. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I'm a speaker, and this is the one thing that I do, not just only on a daily basis, but almost every single second. It might not be on a platform whereby I'm speaking to, you know, thousands of people.
Yeah.
It can even be, you know, in a one-on-one space. You know, yeah. You know what I mean? So that is basically who I am. So it is wrapped inside your purpose. And when you find your purpose, you're actually going to find what you love.
Mm.
You know, and when you find what you love, the rest is history. Yeah. You start to be bold. You start to don't care. You know, you're like, I'm going to drop out of school and pursue this.
Just do what I want.
You're like,
I'm going to write a book. Yeah, I'm going to write two books.
I will do it. Because you find exactly what you love. Because all of us, you know, all humanity is seeking what they love.
Yeah.
All of us.
Yeah.
All of us are seeking exactly what we love. And when we find what we love, every single thing changes.
Okay, so Vaughn, I want to ask you that question also now, because I think I'm going to answer it as well after you. Who are you, Vaughn?
Who am I? Yeah. I'm a traveling soul, man.
You see, I'm Vaughn is so poetic with these answers. Like, I wish I was going to say,
what does that mean?
So, I want to give you that snapping, like, sound effect, but let's give you a round of applause. I'm a traveling soul. Like, I don't have the...
Shout out.
I don't have that sound, but yeah, that was deep, bro. Was
yeah, I'm a traveling soul. I believe that's part of, you know, this journey is first... understanding that you're on it.
Yeah.
You know, so I feel like I'm on the journey to self-discovery, and I feel like I've made massive strides in doing so. I don't think that anybody knows who they are, you know, immediately. For some people, it works differently. You know, some people know immediately, some people take some time, and I don't think there's anything wrong with either of them. So I feel like I am maybe in the latter. I'm on a journey to self-discovery.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, what I do is I spend my time trying to inspire other young people to get on that journey as well. Because the more of us that do, you know, the more a conscious culture is born, and the better for the world.
Yeah.
And then to answer the question of what I would like to be, because sort of conceptually I enjoy thinking about these type of things, because it allows me to get creative with my ideas in my mind. And I thought to myself, what would I like to be known as? You know, what would be written on my gravestone one day? And it's the only thing that I would like to be written there would be a great father.
You're deep, bro.
Yeah, that's sort of my conceptual goal, because in my mind, conceptually, what a great father is made up of is so many different aspects. And if I achieve that and I'm able to be labeled as a great father one day, I would be a very happy man.
That's a beautiful thing, Vaughn. Very beautiful, man. So now Simpiwe.
It's a God dream.
Okay, so Simpiwe, who are you? So who is Simpiwe?
Yeah, bro? Who are you, dog? Who are you at, bro? Where
hey,
are you bro. At?
Like, first and foremost, when you hear the name Simpiwe Petros, in history, it will say Simpiwe Petros, leave your mark. I'm the person that believes that type of person that believes he was born to live a life so inspiring that it gave another person permission to have hope, to believe in their dream and to go after it. I want to be so influential in my time that I make a generation realize their worth.
Yeah.
A generation to realize their worth empowers another generation. I'm here for the next generation.
Mm. That's dope.
My passion is the next generation, because I realize that our future is in the next generation.
Yeah.
I'm also on a road of self-discovery, simply because I believe that I'm not who my past defined me as, but rather who I will be someday.
Yeah.
And I'm defined by who God says I am, not by any man, not by any circumstance, not by any insecurity.
Yeah.
All insecurities are cut off simply because of my identity, and that my identity is in Christ and Christ alone.
Yeah.
And I will realize who I am simply because of that journey I'm on. So on my gravestone, it will say, here lies Simpiwe Petros, a man that left his mark on a generation.
Yeah.
A nation,
wow.
A continent, and a world. And he made them realize that they can live the life they've always wanted to.
That's dope.
Because that's what they were born for.
You're going to need a big gravestone.
Hey, bro. Hey.
Let you write that down.
It's going to be like a monument, Baba. A monument. A monument. So, yeah, man. So, that was me being deep for a moment.
That's dope, man. Awesome stuff.
I just needed just a little bit. Just thank you very much, guys. I really appreciate it. Like, thanks for all the support. It means a lot.
The key is for you guys at home to ask that question too, and I think Tulani's put it, you know, quite bluntly. He said, you know, it's a journey, and you'll eventually realize it on your own. So the key is to start that journey and ask yourself these questions.
Yeah.
Go home and ask yourself, what would you like to be on your gravestone one day? What do you see yourself as now, apart from your job, apart from your daily activities? Who are you inside? And try and figure that out, man. It's a great journey.
Yeah.
But I want to ask you something quickly, Tulani, just so we can change the pace a bit. So this is an awesome thing you've done, and you're an author and all that. the boldness you needed to get in there, you've told us it was because of your passion. And obviously purpose, there was obstacles, yeah. You know, there was obstacles on the way there. And even right now, as you sit here in front of us, you probably face a few challenges. So,
without a doubt.
Yeah. So just run us through sort of how you overcame those and, you know, what can we expect from you in the future, bro?
Beautiful. Like I said, that from the passion and every single thing. So what I did was that basically, you know, I decided, you know, I believe in the power of decision. You know, I believe that in most cases we don't achieve things because we don't decide. We think we decide, but we don't necessarily decide.
Okay, so tell us what is a decision then? When do you actually decide? Carry on.
Yeah. All right, cool. Now, a decision needs to be so strong that you're gonna have to have tools that will help you to inspire it.
Yeah.
You know, a decision is a thought. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm just gonna put it down into what I did.
Yeah.
So like for example, I said I wanted to write a book. Okay.
Yeah.
So after deciding that I wanted to write a book, I decided certain tools that will inspire me every single day to see the decision that I made. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
For example, if you can see my diary, it has all those things that I want to do. And some of the things I've already done.
Yeah.
So now, when I see these things every single day, it kind of inspires me every single day to be able to keep on doing exactly what I need to do.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's not just I want to write a book and then I go and hang. When I see the diary every single day, it motivates me. It draws that energy inside me that I actually need to do exactly what I have to do.
That's cool.
Yeah. So it's basically, you know, making a decision and also putting tools into place that will help you and inspire you every single day. But the thing is, if you're not inspired, you won't be able to work. You know, so you need that inspiration every single day. And, you know, people will not come to you every single day and try to inspire you and say, hey, Stims, listen, man, you're such a great blah, blah. And people will not come there every single day. So you need things that will help you in a consistent mode.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I once heard a guy saying that, inspiration and motivation is important, but unfortunately, it doesn't last. Now, the question is, how do you make it last? You know, how do you make it consistent? I mean, you can go to a seminar every single week, and then on Wednesday, you're still on that same mode you were in last week.
Because you're empty again.
You know what I'm saying? So the question is now, how do you refill yourself? Because as a person who knows his purpose or her purpose, you are a producer. So the certain things that you need to do.
That's the fundamental thing. You raised up a very valid point there, because I want people to realize this. A decision is just a decision, but a decision without action is nothing.
It's dead.
Yeah, it's dead.
That's a brilliant point. It's interesting because, like, I think about it like this. Showering and bathing is also important, right? But you need to do it every day.
So
and it also wears off.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
if you lack, you know, inspiration and motivation in your own capacity, if you can't seem to get up and do it yourself and you need the influence of other people or inputs, then seek that. There's means and there's ways. I mean, you can follow people on Twitter.
Yeah.
You can get on YouTube and watch videos.
Yeah.
You can, watch what entrepreneurs are doing and feel inspired. So if you need that, then definitely do that. And exactly what you're saying now, Tulani, is having sort of a constant reminder. So having a diary, having a vision board.
Yeah.
And those type of things surely should inspire you every day if you're feeling down, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think the most important thing we need to realize is that you have raised a valid and an extremely important point. It's not about the external motivation that matters.
Nah.
It's the intrinsic motivation, the stuff that you need to build up in yourself to go out and do that stuff.
Yeah.
Because that's what you're doing now. You're stirring up something in you that's allowing you to move forward and do things.
Yeah.
So is that the key differentiator between success and failure? Or what is it actually?
There's basically a whole couple of things, but I think this one is the main one.
Yeah.
Because, you know, once you decide, nothing is going to be on your way.
Yeah.
You know, people who decide, man, they're unstoppable. You see them moving. Because the thing is, whether we like it or whether we don't, there is going to be days where you don't feel like it.
Yeah.
I am telling you, those days are going to come whereby you're like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah.
You're like, I am tired. You know what I mean? But when you made a decision, you know, you might feel like that, but within a short space of time, you cannot remember back that, hey, listen, I need to do exactly. Especially when you have exactly what you want in front of you every single day.
Yeah.
And I believe that is the one thing that has been keeping me to go all, you know, on and on and on.
That's awesome, man.
So my worry is that it's yet again the shortest hour in the week. We are literally wrapping up the show now. So Tulani, thank you so much for joining us. What I want to ask you now, what's your one message? 30 seconds to everybody that's listening.
Right. My one message is basically, without finding yourself and all those things, that I know you have a dream. I believe whoever that is listening, I believe you have a dream. But for you to achieve that dream, you're going to need tools to be able to empower you to achieve that dream. Mm. So if you can try to get things that will inspire you every single day, you know, things that will get you up and be able to fulfill that dream, I believe that there's no way that dream will not be possible.
Yeah,
that's awesome, powerful, man. You know, thank you for coming and sharing your words of wisdom and your story with us, bro. It's pretty awesome, man. And it's awesome that, you know, young people are doing these things and doing it for each other. It's great stuff, man. How can somebody keep up with you on social media? Where can we find you if we want to find out more about what you're doing next and follow your movements?
All right, beautiful. Now, my Twitter handle is at Thulani Says, and on Facebook, I am Thulani Mphahlele, and my website as well is www.thulanimphahlele.com.
Yes. Awesome stuff. Yeah, so I'd suggest give this man a follow. Keep up with what he's doing. He's definitely making moves. It'll be awesome to see where he goes.
He's shaking up the world, Baba. Shaking it up. Lilin, last words.
Yeah, can I just say, with the Stay on Track diary, like, it's really awesome. I don't know if he hasn't mentioned, at the bottom, there's always like a book to read or a quote or something.
Yeah.
And I got one that says, The Leader Who Had No Title. I know it's a book that everybody speaks about, but I wouldn't have thought about it had I not, you know, been through the diary. So it's amazing. And there's like goals at the beginning of the diary that I wrote down that I had also forgotten, you know, and said to myself, ah, you know what? I actually don't feel like it. Yeah. Maybe this is not my purpose. Yeah. But it just kept me going.
Wow.
It really kept me going. So thank you. Honestly, thank you.
Thank you for that, Lela. Appreciate
so,
that a lot.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's been a session. Thank you for joining me. Thank you for joining us. Vaughn, thank you, brother.
Thank you, my brother. Thank you. Thank you guys for tuning in and showing your support and love. We appreciate all of y'all.
So last words for this week is a quote by Albert Einstein. I'm thankful to all those who said no. Because of them, I did it myself.
Yeah.
It's all up to you. Go out there. Take charge of this week. We'll see you next week.
Be your own role model.
This is CliffCentral.com.